welcome to the 62nd episode of the Not Your Mama's Gamer podcast, a podcast where we talk about games and gaming from a feminist perspective. My name is Samantha Blackman, and I am an associate professor here at Purdue University in wonderful West Lafayette, Indiana, where I talk about, amongst other things, video games. And I am joined tonight by two of my co-hosts, Alex Lane and Sarah. How are you ladies doing tonight?
Good.
Not too bad.
Yay!
Yay, indeed.
This is episode 62, because just to give you a little background in case you were wondering where episode 61 went. Episode 61, we actually recorded three times.
And your internet and someone else's internet went out in the middle of the first one.
It truly just seemed to be jinxed.
Yeah.
So we never actually got the entire thing recorded. So we could never put the entire thing up. So we just pretended it didn't exist, and we totally skipped it, and we went from episode 60 to episode 62.
It's haunted.
Because 61 is clearly haunted.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to deal with that anymore.
Right.
So we're going to go ahead and get started, and we're going to do start with our usual, what you're playing, what you're reading, what you're drinking.
We got to introduce ourselves.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, take that. Sarah, you go.
It's already starting.
I'm Sarah. I am a undergraduate at Purdue University studying professional writing and creative writing. I really love games, and I hope to be a writer / narrative designer in the gaming industry when I graduate, which will be soon. So, self-promotion.
You gotta learn some programming, you know that.
Oh, I know. There's actually a game developer group on campus I learned over the summer.
Well, there's a whole, like, games design studio thing in the serious games department.
Yeah, and so I contacted them just recently, so...
Yeah, there's some folks over in CGT. What you want to check out the folks over in CGT and learn some Unity, man, so you can do some level design.
Good idea.
Mm.
Good idea. Well, I'm Alex Lane. I am a PhD candidate at Purdue University in West Lafayette, and I study video games and the video game industry, looking at particularly gender issues that happen there. Although I imagine by episode 62 and after hundreds of blog posts, you get it. You know what we're all about, right?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You will hear me pop in and out because I did the very stupid thing this evening of allowing my child to watch The Wizard of Oz, who was now afraid to go to bed.
You might also hear me pop in and out because I have a really delicious sandwich next to me and I haven't eaten in like 4 days. So
why is it not eaten in 4 days?
I'm exaggerating. It is a turkey sub with pickles, lettuce, jalapenos. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Is she scared because of the flying monkeys? Is it the flying
just
monkeys?
Lots of things in general. Even before we got there.
You should show her Wizard of Oz 2. That one's way scarier.
Thanks. I'll absolutely do that.
I own it. I can lend it to you.
No, I'm gonna pass. Thank you.
The first time I ever babysat my nieces, first and last time, I taught them about the boogeyman.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently, you're not supposed to do that, because when the parents got home, they were still awake in their beds, like, crying. I don't know. How else do you get kids to listen to you? You tell them there's a boogeyman, and they're like, what's boogeyman? Anywho. Apparently,
okay, so, ladies, what you playing?
I'll go. I played a lot of Don't Starve. I think I'm getting up around 50 hours of that game. I have a problem. I found out a couple new tricks in it, if anybody is interested. I think I might have said, it doesn't matter, because we didn't broadcast the one from last week. I should have added all my games in there from then. Did we ever publish the one where I did Lucius?
No, that was the Devil Child one, right?
Yeah, that was the Devil Child one.
Yeah, that was N61. Look, you jinxed it. It was the evil one.
Oh, you're right. It was
jinxed it from the get-go.
Shoot. Okay, well, I played Lucius as well. Don't starve. New tips. The trick is drying racks. You need to make more drying racks, okay? That is what the game is all about. That will keep you alive because it restores sanity and health and hunger. So drying racks, guys. Set up shop next to some rabbit holes, some frog ponds. You need to be near some yaks or whatever they're called, beefalo, so that you can let the monsters lead the monsters to them when they start coming at you, the devil dogs or whatever they are. Anyway, so Lucius was another game I played. It's an indie game. It was my indie game of episode 61. Within the first few, you're a little kid. Within the first few seconds, you murder someone. That's how they bring you through the tutorial. It is a creepy, creepy game. I often don't play games with any sound, like because I'm sitting around people or something like that, and maybe I don't want them to know I'm gaming or whatever, pretending I'm working. So I don't usually have sound on, but this has really good sound, so you definitely want to check that out. I played the Bureau XCOM Declassified, which I wrote a Power Hour review on, so you know my feelings. If anybody wants to buy it, I'll sell it at a discounted price. Only has playtime on it. I played To the Moon, which was going to be my indie game this week. And then I played some more Night of the Rabbit, got a little further in it, and I'm digging it. So that's what I played.
That's pretty awesome. What about you, Sarah?
Yeah, classes started just recently, so I've been really in full swing with classes. But I continue to play Animal Crossing New Leaf. My town is finally a perfect town. So that's always exciting. I have also kept playing Tales of Xillia, and then have been playing a game called Asylum. It's also an indie game. They haven't released it yet. I hope to review it later when it gets released. There's not a specific release date yet, but they released a sort of interactive teaser trailer. So you kind of get a couple of scenes and puzzles of the game. So I've been playing that, and it's pretty interesting. It seems pretty story-driven. So we'll see where that goes, and I hope to review it later when they actually have a release date for it.
Cool. Okay, well, I guess I will go. I have also been playing Animal Crossing New Leaf, still.
Do you have a perfect town?
I do have a perfect town. I've had a perfect town for a while, and I had almost gotten my golden watering can or whatever I'm supposed to get for the perfect town. And then I play with other people, so what we do is we open our towns late at night, but we put all the extra stuff that we don't want in front of our train station so people can just come pillage through and take whatever they want so that we don't get stuck with all this stuff. But we don't, at the same time, we don't sell it for like 3 bells. And I went to bed one night and left all the stuff in front of my train station. And the game read it as trash, and I lost my perfect town status.
So oh, no.
I had to start all over again because you have to have a perfect town for like 16 days before you get your golden watering can. So I think I'm probably up to 8 or 10 days now. So soon I will have a perfect town again. I mean, I'll soon have my golden watering can. And one thing I did, I had so much stuff. And my house is as big as it can possibly get. So I had to set a theme for my house. But then I had all this cool stuff in my house that didn't fit my theme. So what I did is I started a new save file and built a new house with an alt in my town so that I can put all my more fun stuff in that house as that alt.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
See. I think that you can also put it in, like, the rooms in the museum,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're full.
On the second floor?
Yeah, those
are
full.
Oh, they're full already?
I got a lot of junk.
Yeah.
So, I'm a collector. So when I start collecting stuff, I have to have the full set. And you know, a full set of anything, which is really stupid. As big as they let you make your rooms, a full set of anything really doesn't fit in one room without looking
junky.
No,
it doesn't.
No,
it doesn't.
So, yeah. So, yeah, my all my museum rooms are full. So I had no choice but to create another house. And I'll do another and another and another until I... No. At some point, I will stop playing this game is what's going to happen. Okay. So, Animal Crossing, yes. I also have been playing the Bureau XCOM Declassified. And as Alex said, you might have read her Power Hour review, but you also might have read the comments afterwards. She didn't like it. I actually did like it. For me, it's a lot like L.A. Noire meets XCOM. And kind of like I said on the blog, I think that maybe the reason that I like it more than she does is that I didn't spend a lot of time playing XCOM. I play XCOM in bits.
I spent a lot of time playing XCOM.
Well, see, because I play it on the iPad, so I only play it in small bits. So yeah, see, so I never put as many hours in as you did, and never had that same kind of. It didn't even feel like the same kind of game. XCOM felt like more like an iPad game to me than it did a console game. So the Bureau made perfect sense to me because it was like L.A. Noire meets XCOM, and it was good. And, you know, I'm a run and gun type of gamer, so the frenetic pace didn't bother me at all. So, the other stuff that I've been playing, if you saw my Power Hour review this week, Disney Infinity, we finally got when it came out after a 2-month delay. Skylanders, it ain't. it's crazy. I thought it would be kind of more narrative based, where it was like this interactive narrative, blah blah blah. It's not. It just drops you in a scene and gives you all these quests, and they're not even good quests. It's like, hey, if you go into the Monsters University quest, it's like you go in as whatever character. You go in as Sully because that, you know, that's the one you get in your starter pack. It's like, oh, look, the guys from, you know, Fright U or whatever the heck their like rival school is have come and kind of tagged our school. So go and scare the guys that are trying to, you know, like tag our buildings and blah, blah, blah. So you have to sneak up on them and scream at them over and over again. Yeah, that's it. And stuff like that. But then you get to like buy little power-ups and extra little toys. Like, oh, now you can buy a bicycle to ride around and scare them. It's crazy. And then there are these things that I saw and I got really excited because there was like this big floating discus thing in the middle of the town square or whatever. And it was like, and you go over to it and it's like, you know, stand here to play the movie. And I'm like, okay, here's what I've been looking for. I just had to unlock this, right? No, it's a commercial. I kid you not.
It's a commercial?
They have embedded commercials throughout all
It's of like these. The be sure to drink your Ovaltine from A Christmas Story.
Exactly. They have embedded these commercials throughout all these levels. And it's not just the Monsters U, but it's also the Incredibles, and it's also the Pirates of the Caribbean. They have embedded these commercials like, to unlock more great characters and more scenes, go to your local toy store now and buy the Sidekick Pack. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I paid for commercials. So I was like, I just paid $80 for really bad imitation of Skylanders and commercials. So I'm not very happy with that. So now that if somebody wants to buy at a discounted price, see me. I'll even throw in the Sidekick and the extra power coins I got for free. And the last thing that I have been playing is Knit Underground. That's KNYTT Underground on the Vita. It's a little indie platformer. And you play a female character who has seemingly lost her memory. So she's going along her way and trying to figure out who she is and all this other great stuff. And she has a sister who kind of helps her at one point along the way. And she meets all of these people, and she has they give her these quests, or she'll meet somebody and say, you know, they'll say, well, you owe me money, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, oh, they must think I'm my sister. But she doesn't know who she is, right? So you're playing along as this amnesiac who is trying to discover who she is. And it's a platformer, but it's also a puzzle-based platformer. And the puzzles are really good. And it's absolutely beautiful. And it was free on PlayStation Plus. So if you've got PlayStation Plus, it's definitely one to download. It's, you can play it on the Vita or the PS3.
I hear children in the background.
Okay. Yeah, that was children in the background. I'm sorry. So that's what I'm playing. Well, guys, what you reading? What you drinking?
Let's see. I don't think I've been reading. I was reading last time we recorded, but now I don't remember what it was. I wasn't. I don't remember. I don't think I'm reading anything. Sarah?
I don't think I'm reading anything either. I feel like I'm never reading anything.
Well, the thing is, like, I'm reading plenty of things. They're not game-related.
Yeah, same here.
So, nothing that would be super interesting to folks, I don't think. Reading my dissertation over again while making corrections. Reading articles about tech writing. That's about it.
I've been reading cognitive science-y stuff. On learning processes.
Yeah, what did you need that stat for today, by the way? What are you working on?
I just wanted to, so I needed a stat today because I couldn't find the article because I was on the move all day. So I wasn't sitting still. I was actually standing in Starbucks when I sent you that message. Mm-hmm. Somehow our university news service person, based on whatever our areas of expertise are, if the newspapers contact them, like our local newspaper or national newspapers or the news or the regular TV news or whatever, contact them and say, okay, here's what our story is. We need somebody to talk about it. They contact us and then they send us to the news station or they send us out. They send them out to us or they call us or whatever. So apparently this woman was doing an article on women in geek culture. And it was odd because it sounded like she was doing this feel-good piece about how great, you know, it was for women in geek culture. So I was like, why is she sending her to me? Because this woman knows me. She knows what I'm doing. I'm like, I'm not going to give this woman the story she wants.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure that I didn't give her the story she wanted because she was like, you know, well, some people say they feel freedom. And I'm like, free to do what? To get raped and sexually harassed? I mean,
you know what I think is funny in geek culture? When you make fun of rape and sexual harassment and then don't take it even seriously, but still don't let women participate in it.
Yeah, that's so fun. I'm pretty sure that when I was done with her, she was like, why did I call this woman? And it'll be interesting to see if I even end up in her story or how I changed her story. Because she thought she was writing a happy-go-lucky, feel-good piece. So she may not even use any of what she got from me.
I'm sorry, but, like, you have to be blind. I was going to say something really mean. You have to be blind or something or totally oblivious to what you're writing about if you really think that you can write a feel-good piece about gamer culture at, like, a university,
you know,
where people study it.
If she knew anything about geek culture, I'd be surprised.
So why did she do that story?
I think it was just assigned to her. It was probably because Gen Con and, you know, because Gen Con was just here, and because of, you know, like PAX and all this other stuff, somebody was like, hey, why don't you, maybe the guy who usually does the games column is like out sick this week or something, and they were like, you're a woman, why don't you write about women in geek culture? Because she sounded like she didn't know what was going on. If she did, she did a good job of pretending she didn't. But she was nice enough. I'm going to be interested to see what she comes up with. So Usually those kinds of pieces, those kinds of, you know, feel good pieces that are, you know, about community based stuff come out in the Friday's issue of the paper. And I don't buy the local paper.
Is it for the JC?
Yeah. So,
We'll be online too, you think? Or do they do online as well? Or
you know what? They do usually. So I'm going to check tomorrow. Actually, when I go to Starbucks, I'll just pick up one and read it to see if it's in there tomorrow. But I imagine it's probably going to be in the Friday because they usually put it in the, you know, the Friday fun TGIF section or whatever. Yeah, because she wasn't ready for me.
That's pretty good.
We'll see how that is. We were doing what you're reading. So that's what, you know, I've been talking about. But what I've been reading is cognitive science-y stuff because I'm still working on my sabbatical project. Drinking. That's always fun. What you drinking, ladies?
Can you guess?
There's ice. There's a glass. I'm guessing scotch.
Scotch. I'm on this new diet, so it's with my whole family. They're all doing it. So the deal is you get points, right? So, of course, if there's points and you can win something, I'm in, right? Furthermore, Mike...
Gamifying the diet.
Gamifying it. And furthermore, Mike, who never joins any of this stuff with me, joined because I was taunting him about he just wasn't joining because he knew I would beat him, right? So he joins, and we get going. This was a few days ago. And we decide that if I beat him in the contest, I get a new puppy.
Oh.
Are you kidding me?
And if he wins, he doesn't get anything. He's that sure he's going to win.
Oh, that's pretty big stakes.
Very big stakes. I've got, like, it picked out. I've got names, like, on a list. Like, oh, God, I'm ready. Because I don't fuck around. I do not lose contests. I win them. Or I quit them because they're not fair.
Not when it comes to puppies, especially.
What's that?
I got one you can have.
No. No, thank you. I'm going to get a Cane Corso, and I'm going to teach it to rip people's throats out. That's my goal in life. If you haven't ever seen a Cane Corso, Google it.
I have to Google it.
Yeah, it's Kane space Corso with a C. They're really great dogs, and they're going to be my protectors, because now that Harley is gone, I have no protector, because Biggles is just a giant pile of ham that just snuggles with anything that comes within 20 feet of him. So,
yes he does.
So anyway, so like, no joke, very serious. So here's the deal. So you get a point for each 30 minutes of exercise you get, right? Up to two points a day, 14 points a week is your max that you can do. And then you get a point if you eat healthy that day. But here's the trap, is you lose your point for that day for eating if you have any alcohol whatsoever.
Oh,
bullshit, right? Anyway, I lost my point for today for that. But then at the end of the week, you do your weight loss percentage, and then you get ranked based on how you and everybody else did, and then you get points allotted based on your percentage. So.
Oh, it's a mastiff.
Yeah, they're big.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Right? If there's a picture of one on Google Images of in the snow, that's like my favorite picture of any dog ever. Aren't they gorgeous?
Yes, they are.
He looks like a protector.
They're super protectors. And there's a rescue in Indiana, actually. So we might get a rescue one, which would be good.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Our last one. Biggles wasn't a rescue, so. So, anywho, I'm in this contest, and I am taking it very seriously, so I have not drank. But I had to drink for the podcast, because I know how Sam gets when she has to drink alone.
Oh, then you're going to be mad. Sarah, what you drinking?
Oh no. I even brought the bottle of scotch in here. It's sitting in my lap right now. I have a bottle of scotch in my lap for you. For you, Sam.
For the puppy. She sacrificed the puppy.
It's all for me.
I did. I could have gotten an extra point. That's okay. Mike hasn't stopped drinking yet, so he's still like 2 points behind me.
All right, Sarah, talk about your drink slow.
Well, I don't have anything to drink because we are very poor right now, poor college students, saving money. And it's funny because my fiance is on like a, he's doing like a eating study sort of thing. So they've like given him a diet and like he can't, have any alcohol at all, and he has to follow specifically what they give him.
That would be annoying.
What?
I said, I hope he's getting paid well, because that would be
annoying. Oh, yeah. It's like $60 a week, I guess, so it's pretty good. Not for a study, anyway.
I suppose.
And they give him all the food, so
well,
they provide
the
food.
It's no puppy, but...
No, it's no puppy.
Right.
I wish I was doing that for a puppy.
I know, I couldn't believe it.
That's a pretty bold challenge.
He's so convinced that he's going to beat me that he bet that. I'm shocked, because I don't mess around. I'm
especially when there's anything on the... on the table, like it.
Well, and there's hundreds of dollars, too. I mean, hundreds of dollars and a puppy. That's what you get if you win. Like, everybody would donate, or a bunch of people donated different amounts of money. I didn't donate anything.
That's funny.
So there's a lot of money and puppy at stake. I can use the money to buy a puppy.
Oh, there we go. Is it my turn?
Yes.
Well, so last week I had a kindergarten plague that came home, and I had just started to feel better than yesterday. I started to feel just kind of generally crappy, and today I wasn't feeling very well either, even kind of to the point of kind of having a sore throat, sinusy kind of thing. and I've been wondering if I was going to lose my voice. So I'm not drinking any of the alcohols, any of the devil's water. I am instead drinking Mountain Dew.
I can't believe you're not drinking.
I'm not. I really was, because I went out Saturday. I actually went out Saturday night, and
you went out on a Saturday night.
And
like
bought
drinking?
Alcohol. No, and bought alcohol.
Oh.
Because I knew that, you know, there was going to be Sunday and then Monday, which was a holiday, that there was no alcohol sales. So I went out and I bought, because I was out of Firefly. You know, that's blasphemous in my house. So I went out and bought Firefly, and I bought, I also like, you know, I like my blueberry lemonades. I also bought a bottle of raspberry pucker. I didn't buy the raspberry Smirnoff, which is what I usually get, a blueberry Smirnoff. I know it's cheap, but, you know, deal with it. And but I bought raspberry pucker because the girl at the liquor store was like, no, this one's better. And I was like, okay, I'm going to try this. So I had raspberry lemonades over the weekend. And I was going to go make a drink, but I was like, you know, if I'm coming down with something, last thing I need to do is, like, lower my immunity even more with alcohol. So, no, not drinking. I apologize, Alex Lane.
I'm glad that you're taking responsibility for your actions. I forgive you.
It's okay, Alex. I have faith that you will push through this and get that puppy.
Thank you.
That's very good determination.
I think so, too. And despite all my drinking tonight, I'm going to pull it together. I'm going to do it.
Well, the thing is that you do it, and then, like, it doesn't matter how much alcohol you have, you still only lose 1 point, right? So you might as well...
Exactly. So you need to go a little crazy.
You might as well have a lot.
but since you still weigh in at the end of the week, you don't want to, like, you know, eat a bunch of pizza and drink. Or
yeah.
You do, maybe. I do. But that's okay. I want the puppy more.
Puppy over food, I would say.
Yeah, that seems fair. That seems fair.
All right.
Yeah, moving on.
News!
I'll tell you in 90 days if I get the puppy. How about that?
Okay. How about the news? What you got?
Oh, I guess I should do some news since I posted the news, huh?
Absolutely.
Let's see here. I posted news because Nicole is MIA. So first, this thing is driving me crazy. You guys got to tell me. I don't really get it. PlayStation 4 will support 4 controllers. Okay, I have seen this news everywhere. I got an emergency alert on my phone when they announced it. What the hell? Why is that big news? Who cares?
Didn't they say that, like, Xbox was going to support 8 controllers or something.
Yes, exactly. 8 controllers.
Yeah.
8 controllers up to 30 feet away from the console.
And so PlayStation 4 was... Why is that big news? I didn't get the news about the Xbox One.
That's weird. I think the 8 controllers is more of a news.
Well, certainly. Like, that's why I was like... And it would be like... And it will be made of plastic and metal. Like, okay, thank you. Like, what? Can anyone explain to me why it's big news?
Did they think maybe that it was only going to support 2? And here's another question. Is it 4 controllers plus the Vita, or just 3 controllers and a Vita?
Well, that I don't know.
They haven't announced that. That's why I'm just throwing that out there.
Well, I don't know, but I was, like, confused and annoyed, and I didn't understand. I don't know if you guys have seen this story, but it's popped up a couple different places. For me, Grand Theft Auto is using real gang members to record their voiceover acting for their new game. For Grand Theft Auto 5, right? 5.
Huh.
What's up with that? Isn't that weird?
That's a little weird.
How do you guys feel about that? It seems like they can make all sorts of claims about, like, not glorifying these types of things. Because it's a fantasy game and this and that. But when you're using real gang members, isn't that kind of crossing the line of glorifying real gang violence?
They think it gives them street cred.
Like, I guess, but gang members are probably out, like, doing gang things, not playing Grand Theft Auto. I guess I don't... My only gang knowledge comes from TV, so maybe I'm wrong, but...
Well, they do have lives too, Alex Lane. They don't live in the streets.
I don't know if, like, maybe this is just me, but I wouldn't want people to be playing the game and be like, I recognize that voice, and then be like, oh my gosh, this person must be a gang member.
Well, I imagine if you're a gang member, people know you're a gang member.
Yeah.
I don't know if, like, secrecy, it's not like mob. Right. I don't know. I think that's just weird. It seems exploitationary and weird. I don't know. Something feels off about it to me.
It is pretty... It's pretty...
Exploitationary.
Well, yes. It's definitely exploitative, but it's also pretty irresponsible, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like you said, I think it does kind of glorify, you know, does kind of glorify...
the real violence.
Yeah.
Plus, like, I mean... People, it kind of makes it seem like voice acting is also an easy thing, and it's really not an easy thing. So, you know.
Yeah, we do our podcast, and we're just our own voices, and that's hard enough.
Questionable professionalism, also.
I want you to know that, hey, this is not my real voice.
I thought about getting one of those when I was deep into WoW.
Oh, one of those voice changers?
Yeah.
You know, I did too way back in the day when I was playing WoW.
What ended up happening with me was I made a couple like good friends, and then so when we were in chats and stuff, I just never talked. You know, if you're in like the big raids, like the 10-man raids or whatever. Like, oh no, this person doesn't have a mic. Then they would cover for me. And then just like tell me secretly what I need to be doing.
Aww.
Well, like, it's just so much drama to deal with, you know?
Oh,
and maybe
know.
Nothing would have happened. Maybe it would have been fine, but usually it's not fine.
No.
And then if you fuck up, it's, like, a reflection on all women, not just, like, you not, like, just you making a mistake, right?
Right.
So.
Yeah, because, you know, it's like anything else. You know, if boys are bad at something, then that boy is bad at something. If a girl is bad at something, then all women are bad at it.
Yeah, it's like that math cartoon.
Yep.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're bad at math. And then the girl messes up too. Oh, all women are bad at math.
Yep.
So, anywho, I don't know how we got on that. UFC... I think this is a really interesting move. I'm very excited about this. UFC will now have female fighters as of their next iteration of their game. Playable, NPC, the whole works. Female fighters. Straight up. And I looked at their, like, images and stuff, and they're wearing regular UFC outfits.
Well, they got real UFC
women.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I love it. There's real U.S. female soldiers too, but there's never women in soldier games, you know.
Well, now Call of Duty is going to have female soldiers in multiplayer.
I did see that.
Didn't see that.
Yep. Yeah. In multiplayer, you will be able to play a woman.
That's good.
But only in multiplayer.
Not in the campaign.
Which, you know, I think is a step forward, but I don't play multiplayer.
But you can make the argument that you're playing a specific character, not like a just general blank slate in the campaign, so they would need to keep it like a specific identity. I think it's bullshit, but, you know, at least it's a step. Yeah, for sure.
So cool. I still won't get to play a woman.
Is that the Ghost? Call of Duty Ghost?
Yeah, I still won't get to play a woman in Call of Duty Ghost. Because I don't play
multiplayer at some point.
I don't play multiplayer.
You can play multiplayer, but not online.
Because I like to talk. You know, I'm a smack talker when I play.
Yeah, but you gotta back it up, yo. Guess you do. Bullets. Okay, anyway. So I thought that was exciting, but I'm more excited about the Call of Duty having women. So take that back. I can just imagine like the different perks and stuff that they would do for specifically female characters. I hope they don't do any of that. That could get horrible.
People like complaining that smaller, that they're going to be harder to hit. I've seen people complaining about that.
That's crazy.
Life. Okay, so then I'm interested in what you guys think about this. So Diablo 3, D3 is coming out for the Xbox and the PS3, but no one cares about that. So Diablo 3 is coming out for the Xbox. What do you guys think about that? What's your reaction? Because I've had a question already today from somebody asking my opinion on it. What do you guys think? We played a little D3, you and I, Sam.
Yeah. I couldn't... It was not as good as Diablo 2 for me.
Yeah.
So I never really got into it on the PC. I mean, I hear that it's like the shiznit on the consoles. But they're not getting another $60 out of me.
Did you buy the game before?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I never bought it. I just played the... Dang it, we should have traded that for my stupid XCOM game. Sarah, did you ever play any of them?
No, I haven't played any of them, and it was funny because I was actually, they've been playing that commercial for it, I don't know if you've seen it,
mm-hmm.
where like, it's like, the guy comes off the clothing all over the stairs,
yeah,
and he's all suspicious, and he goes up, and they're like dressed, the girls are all dressed in like, the costumes, and they're like, oh, come on, we'll make it a foursome, and I was like... Classy.
Yeah, it's so funny because, like, those commercials, like, yay, you're including women.
I know. I was kind of conflicted because it was like, oh, okay, well, they're playing and they're, like, cosplaying.
Yeah, they're not, like, watching.
But then it was kind of like,
It has to have a sexual tone, right? If you're going to.
Yeah.
That's a thing, too. Like, we've talked about that plenty of times on the podcast. Like, it's not black and white, right? Like, Lara Croft, awesome, in 97. You look back now, it's very problematic. But, like, it was a moment, it was important, it's a good step. Like the UFC fighters, like the Call of Duty multiplayer women, female fighters. Like, important step, good, but it's not going to be black and white. It's not going to be like, yes, now we're not sexist anymore. Now games are good, you know? Like, it's still going to be, there's still issues. It's not perfect. It probably will never be perfect. Otherwise, we're out of jobs, I guess. Be like, oh, God, equality happened.
It's like,
done.
Now we're, just like we're post-racial, now we're post-sexist.
Now we're post-sexist. Right. So anyway, I felt similar reaction to that commercial. At least we're included. And maybe next year we won't need to be sexualized in order to be included.
Yeah.
Pipe dream.
Did you say next year?
Yeah. I did. Well, you're, I think so I'm going to change the world when I get a job and become a professor, so.
You're so funny.
Or maybe I'll just be distracted by my puppy. Anyway, so I'm super excited about D3 for the Xbox. I didn't dig it on the PC, but mostly because, like, I'm really a PC gamer for specific games, but I like playing on the console when I can. It's more inclusionary. I like playing with my friends on the Xbox. It's fun. It's, I don't know. It seems like when I play like WoW or something with my friends online, everyone's at their own houses. I'm like sitting there just like zoned into my little screen. Right. And if I have my big TV, I feel like I'm, I don't know, doing something more collaborative. So I'm really excited. If I can get a couple people to buy it with me, then I'm definitely going to get it and play. I think it'd be fun.
Well, I'm sure there'll be plenty of folks who buy it.
Yeah, hopefully. Maybe I'll trade my XCOM to somebody for it. But anyway, I'm going to get it. I think. I'm excited.
Cool beans.
The thing I've heard about it, though, is that the controls are a little clunky, and there's like lots of menus you have to go through, but that it's not so bad if you didn't play the PC version. But if you play the PC version, the irritation going from the keyboard, where everything is like really intuitive, to the control. However, I've also read that the amount of loot you get in the PC game is atrocious, right? Like, it's so hard to get loot. It's really hard to get any sort of good items. But that they way ramped up the amount of loot you get in the Xbox game, which I think was really smart, because then on one hand you have PC gamers who are used to getting no loot and then are frustrated with controllers, but will be satisfied with the amount of loot they get. So it like offsets, you know, like they'll be really happy because they're getting so much loot, even if the controller is annoying. And then the people who've never played before, they'll just learn the controller way and they won't ever be frustrated, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I'm sorry. We can keep going. Oh, God, my thing is next, too, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking so much. This is horrible. My throat hurts.
Drink scotch.
Okay. So, my indie game of the week is To the Moon by Freebird Games. It was released in 2011, fall 2011. It just came to Steam about a year ago. Here is my favorite part about this game. I have no memory buying it. I don't know when I bought it. I don't know how I bought it. I didn't even know that it was in my Steam library. And I know some people have hundreds and hundreds of games and they lose track, but I keep pretty close track. I didn't even know it was in my library until Adam Strantz commented on it that I had bought it. And he was like, yay, good for you. I was like, what? I didn't buy this. Like, what? What is happening?
You remember I did a post on that game.
To the Moon?
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
Did you buy it then?
Oh, it's all coming back to me. Also, I drunk bought a pair of sheets last week for myself. and a bunch of plug-in strips. Like, anyway. I need the breathalyzer on my Amazon account.
Yes, you do.
I know, I have such a problem. Anywho, you're right. Shit. I totally forgot about that. What did you think of To the Moon, Sam?
It was definitely one of those heart-wrenching games. That's what it was, you know, meant to be.
Yeah.
It's like, here, let's get you in the feels.
Yeah.
But I won't, you know, steal your thunder. Talk about it.
Well, I'm maybe I didn't even play as much as you did, but it's a point-and-click adventure game-ish. I think it's more of a story than a game. You basically are just clicking through dialogue most of the time, and then once in a while, like, running around doing, picking X up or Y up to hear more of the story. The basic premise is you have these doctors who can hook people up to a machine to replace their memories with new memories. And it only works with people really near death, because if you wake up after having this treatment, your memories will conflict with the new memories they planted in you, and then you'll, like, go crazy.
No, you die.
Or die. Oh, yeah. Okay. You die.
Yeah, that's the hook, is that you know, they only do it with people who are on their deathbed.
On their deathbed.
Right. Yeah, because you can't survive it.
Right. That's right. So, your last moments are your happiest moments, and you're basically, you go back, the guy you meet, wants to go to the moon, and you don't know why or whatever, but it's this, again, heart-wrenching story, like Sam said. And the idea is you rewrite one moment in these people's lives, and their whole lives get rewritten then. So theoretically, it's kind of old, sad, alone people, and they get to make one decision that would have changed their whole lives, and then it gets played out in their memories. And so they die thinking they've lived these wonderful lives. So the story, I know, sounds amazing. It's not my kind of game at all. The point-and-click adventure, clicking through the story options, it was sweet. The music was good. It's not my kind of game, but if anybody likes that kind of stuff, like when I played it, Sam, the first thing I thought of was you, probably because you recommended it and wrote a review of it, but you were the first person I thought of as, like, you would love this type of game, so.
I played the game. I played and finished the game. It's
sweet.
Yeah, it was interesting because, you know, for me it was, I started to play that game. You remember a couple months back, I lost cousin, my grandmother, my cousin, my father, my grandmother, all within a couple of months of each other.
That, yeah.
Yeah, and so I was playing a lot of those, you know, what would you do if you had this thing to relive games. And To the Moon was one of the ones that I played to kind of work through my grief, interestingly enough. Yeah. So, you know, I guess games can do some fucked up stuff.
my indie game from last time, which I'll just cover super quickly, was Lucius by Shiver Games. It's a psychological horror adventure stealth game. You play as the Antichrist, like... Seriously, you play as the Antichrist, and you're a six-year-old boy.
Nice.
One of the creepiest games I've played in a really long time. I likened it to a few of the games you guys talk about where you actually get kind of scared, right? Like, it creeps you out in a way that games certainly don't creep me out, like, ever. But I also usually don't play with the sound on, and that's usually part of the creep factor, and I listened to this one, so it really creeped me out. Lucius has gotten terrible. Also, my stepsister named her kid Lucius. So.
Oh.
Yeah. I know, isn't that sad? I was like, oh no, Lucius, when you're six, you're going to be the Antichrist.
I feel like nothing can come out of a name like Lucius.
I know. So sad.
Aww.
He's an adorable little child. Okay, so. Received terrible scores in all of the different Metacritics and you know, whatever the different reviews are, because no one ever knew what to do next, because you have to actually listen to the conversations. And if you don't listen and pick up on it, then there's no way of really knowing.
So that was hard for you because you don't listen to nothing.
This is why I played with the sound, right? Like, I played with the sound and I was very careful. And, like, the people who are reviewing this, they're talking about, like, 3/4 of the way through the game. And for my indie game of the week, I couldn't play that long. You know, I played a couple hours and didn't get that far into it to be able to do that. So that never bothered me. But I would be very frustrated with that. Like, even in Night of the Rabbit, which gives you pretty clear directions, like, I found myself several times getting really frustrated because I didn't listen well enough. Mm-hmm. And couldn't figure out the directions, so I had to look up the walkthrough. But, so let's see. So, there's also complaints that the cutscenes are jagged. That was my complaint. The cutscenes are really jagged. Like it's choppy. And I play on my $2 million Alienware that has no trouble with any graphics, and certainly shouldn't have trouble with, like, a black and white and red indie game cutscene. And it was just totally jagged. So, that was kind of annoying. But, indie games. Done.
Cool.
Yeah.
Now, see, this is where the podcast is going to go dead or stop recording or something. Because once again, we're going to try to talk about our issue of the week. Our issue that we're going to talk about this week is a continuation of the awesome post that Sarah wrote a couple of weeks ago, where she talked about female objectification versus male idealization, and kind of how those things play out in what we want to talk about is not only cosplay, but also games. And how this might be indicative of a larger problem in the gaming community. And when we first started talking about this a couple weeks ago, when we were going to do this podcast, we were thinking about it specifically in terms of the Jennifer Hepler leaving BioWare and the death threats that she had received. Not leaving because of the death threats, but those two things separately. And talking about those two things together and talking about them as you know, being indicative of a larger issue of misogyny and sexism present in kind of the games community and geek culture. And you know, just so that we can remain timely, we've had this very chaotic thing of PAX going on this last weekend, where our favorite Dick Wolves artist came out at PAX this weekend and said if he had to do it all over again, he would never have removed the Dick Wolves merchandise from the Penny Arcade store. Because he thinks it was a mistake.
I don't remember being like so mad. When I was 13, I got really mad, and I like literally saw. And every time this comes up, like I start getting that feeling in my gut, and I like literally, like I start getting some tunnel vision. I'm like so mad about it. So
yeah.
Anyway, sorry. Continue.
Yeah. No. You know, and I mean, this is something we talked about when. You know, we talked about when Dick Wolves came out. We talked about when, you know, when that whole thing, you know, kind of blew up, right? And then, of course, you know, the internet trolls all over the place. You're like, why won't people let Dick Wolves die? Excuse me, he brought it up. Nobody else did. He brought that up all on his own at PAX. And, you know, but this is the same reason that, like, that I posted that post a couple of weeks ago about kind of putting your money where your mouth is, right? You know, why I wasn't buying the Final Fantasy, you know, why there are certain games that I will not buy, and why I will never go to PAX, right? Because, you know, PAX, it kind of encourages rape culture, right? And encourages sexual assault.
Yeah. There's no kind, and it's not, it kind of encourages it. Like I get it. People think they're good guys, and they've done a ton for the geek community, and they've done all these great things, and still, their shit encourages rape culture. Period.
There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You can't get around it. Yeah. Right? I mean, and you know, it happens at PAX all the time. We hear the stories that come out of PAX. We hear the stories that come out of PAX about, you know, women being assaulted. You know, there was the woman who was assaulted by one of their enforcers, and then they tried to cover it up. Right?
Yep.
You get all of this. I mean, that comes out, you know, and then, you know, other folks saying, well, you know, that happened at PAX, but it wasn't us. It was someone else. It happened at PAX because, you know why? You make people think that shit's okay.
No ifs, ands, or buts about that, yeah.
Because it's funny, right? You know.
It's funny. It's okay to poke fun at that. We're not, if you're offended by it, you're just being too sensitive. It doesn't really happen here.
Right.
You know.
And if you're offended by it, don't read it. If you're offended, but it's not just a question of not being able or being able to not read it, right? Because it doesn't stop at reading it. It changes the community that you are a part of. It endangers you as a woman. and that they don't understand.
And the thing is that it's weird because this is also an issue, like, for some reason the director's getting involved with, like, sexual assault and charges and stuff, like, that's happened a lot in certain anime cons. Like, I know the co-founder of Dragon Con was arrested in, like, a sexual assault or sex abuse or something charge.
Theoretically, he's been fired.
And so there's been a whole lot of issue with that. And then I know that even when I went to a con, there was a friend of mine. It was my first time going to a con. I was like 13, something like that. And I had been told that there was this one guy who he did a couple of panels and stuff, and that he was one of those sketchy guys, and he was going to try and, like, flirt with you. He didn't really care about age boundaries and that sort of thing. It's just like, I don't know, what is it about cons that draws that sort of thing out?
You have to constantly be on your guard. And it's not, the thing is, what is it about cons? The thing about cons is that the people in charge don't think it's an issue and don't put policies in place. They don't set an example when they fuck up, which is fine because everyone fucks up. They don't own it. They keep it going and make it part of the culture, right? Like a lot of these companies, they start as two buddies in someone's garage. Like, I get it. You get big, all of a sudden people love your crap, you're part of this community, and you've never thought about what it would be like to be a woman in the field. You've never thought about, oh, if my business goes from two people, me and someone I trust, to 100 people that I need to be responsible for their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't think about it. And then suddenly you have thousands and thousands of people following your lead, like Penny Arcade does. They have businesses, they have economic flow, they have all the other people in their basement starting businesses, looking to them for an example, and they're saying, okay, we put out some questionable content, too fucking bad. Deal with it.
Right.
We don't care. And so now, like, that gets more pervasive, and people think it's okay, like that guy who did that joke series about going up and grabbing women around, like, their waist and trying to carry them away from, you know, like, it was like a punch thing. Read about this?
Yeah.
I forget which con it was at, but it was one of the cons. They would, like, go up, and they would be filming, and grab a woman and start, like, carrying her away, and they would, like, usually scream and then, like, freak out, right? And then they'd, like laugh about it, and the woman would get all nervous. But, like, that triggered somebody who had been sexually assaulted at a con before when they went up. And also, like, that's not appropriate to do anyway, right? You can't just touch people. Like, that's not okay.
Right.
But also, like, that triggered someone, and then she, like, freaked out on them, and they're like, you just can't take a joke. You just can't this and that. I blame those people for their behavior as well, but they get it from people like Penny Arcade. And I get it. They are cool. They've done tons of stuff for this and that. Fine. But they still, in this issue, are terrible leaders. And they are responsible for a lot of the terrible shit that's happening at the con.
Yeah, and I was actually discussing something in the cosplay scene, like, really similar to that with, and when we were doing the podcast that was not to be. I don't think you were there.
No, I wasn't there.
I was saying that there was an issue.
Because there's never been a podcast without me, so it automatically tanked.
But we were talking about this issue that came up in the cosplay community where this guy, I don't know, he had a YouTube channel. I tried looking it for it that night, and I couldn't find it, so hopefully it's been taken off. But he had a camera on his chest, hidden, like, in a coat or something, and he would go up to girls in costumes, especially ones that had sort of cleavage, and he would go up to them and hug them and basically film all happening. And he did this throughout the whole con and put, like, a video montage of him hugging these girls and getting, like, direct boob in the camera shots. And they clearly really didn't know about it. And he, I don't even know if he, I mean, who knows, but he didn't, I don't think he told them. Most of the time they would notice, and some of them would sort of awkwardly laugh it off, but then there are definitely people who were clearly just taken aback, and they just had a look on their face. And I mean, he, it was, seemed like it was all, he got all of the footage and he put it all in, and he didn't edit anything or anything. And it kind of, it, a thing in the convention, especially, you know, for the more professional conventions, but a lot of the time, a lot of people will be giving out like free hugs or really willing to give hugs because it's kind of a thing in the community. And it's supposed to be like, you're all there with a common interest and you're all there and supposed to be like friendly and everything. And it's just one of the cases where taking advantage of that feeling like you're supposed to be there, like camaraderie, but then he's there getting boob shots, which is really borderline sexual harassment.
And so that, that'll be, thinking that'll be a time that Alex Lane never goes through because she don't hug nobody.
Because, no, I absolutely don't. Do not fucking touch me.
Yeah, hugging is an anime con thing.
But, like, what made me think, too, when you were talking is people, like I've even heard, like, the PAX folks say, like, oh, you know, women have looked at this and laughed, so it's obviously fine. This person just didn't have a sense of humor.
Right.
And that line is used all the time, but you don't understand, like nervous laughter, not knowing how to respond, laughing, being really upset and laughing, like, laughing to cover up whatever you're feeling. Like, these are really things. And just because you immediately like don't know how to respond and so like nervously laugh at something doesn't mean that you can't think about it and then realize how fucked up it was later, you know. I was just gonna say there's been plenty of times like people in my life have died and like, you know, like I'll like kind of like the new hyperbole in it, the most recent hyperbole and a half, where she like finds a piece of corn under her fridge after being depressed for 6 months and just starts laughing for no reason, right? Like, it's just like an expression of emotion when you don't know what else to do. I don't think that you can possibly take that as, oh, they were okay with it.
And not only that, you know, Trixie360 from, you know, Microsoft, mm-hmm. Krista Charter is who she is now, right?
Mm-hmm.
She actually wrote this brave and wonderful post a while back on, you know, on how she had been sexually harassed during her time at Microsoft, right? And how she kind of laughed at the boob jokes and she laughed at what, you know, at the harassment and basically the assault. I mean, anytime somebody's grabbing your ass without your permission, that's assault. And how she kind of laughed it off. But it was just that. It was nervous laughter. You don't, if you don't know what to do, sometimes people laugh it off, right?
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know how to respond to this. Giggle, giggle, giggle. That doesn't mean it's okay. It can be, you know, it can be a combination of things. It can be nervous laughter. It can be, I don't know how to respond to this and not lose my job.
Yeah, definitely that
for
one.
For sure.
You like, know, I don't want to say thing to get in trouble.
You know, I mean, especially, I mean, you're talking about women, you know, what about women who have children to support or families to support that even don't include children? It's like, what do you do? It's like, okay, so I'm going to laugh this off right now because I don't know how to deal with it and how it's going to be perceived if I just knock the shit out of this jerk for grabbing my ass. Right?
Right.
So you laugh it off. I mean, and, you know, and like I said, she did this wonderful and brave post and, you know, and it was almost apologetic, you know, but I'm like, you have nothing to apologize for. I mean, people should be apologizing to you, right, for putting you in that situation in the first place and to come out even, you know, after the fact and to talk about this so that other women recognize, you know what, this happens to other folks too, and it's okay if you laugh that off in that one situation where you didn't know what else to do or you were too afraid to react for fear of losing your job, your income, and your ability to feed your family, right? I mean, and that
being in those situations can be scary. like, for the reasons you were just talking about, and even for your, like, bodily safety, right?
Exactly.
Like, you don't want to escalate
this jerk just assaulted me. Do I knock the hell out of him and risk getting the shit beat out of me? Or, you know, because you don't know.
Use the situation by laughing and trying to walk away to somewhere safe, right?
Exactly. I mean, if somebody's nuts enough to infringe upon your personal space and your being to grasp you in a sexual way without your permission, who says that it stops there?
Yeah. I'm not willing to bet my shit on it. I wouldn't bet a puppy on that.
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, these are all things that you have to consider, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, well, she laughed at the joke, or she laughed when I took pictures of her boobs, or she laughed when I stuck my hand down her shirt. You know, she laughed because she was fearful.
Yeah, and yeah, maybe she laughed. Maybe one woman was flirting back. Maybe they liked getting their boob, you know, like, whatever. That's fine. But that's not an automatic sign that makes it okay. Right?
Right. Trust me, I'm totally and completely there with you.
Women will react in many different ways, and that doesn't make your behavior, particularly when it's against the law, / morally wrong, / whatever, it doesn't make anything okay.
Hey.
Maybe we'll run out of things like this to talk about someday.
Yeah, well, it won't be an issue one day.
If I have my way. If I have my way with the world.
Maybe.
But like you're saying it, like the anime cons, like giving out free hugs. If that's like a thing you want to do, like that's awesome. If that's like part of the culture and people freely participate in it, that's great. But then there's going to be people who exploit it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sigh. On that note.
I know.
All right. Thanks, ladies. That was definitely an interesting conversation and one that will go on, unfortunately, more, I'm sure.
I know, it's kind of a depressing. Can we end on, like, a happy note?
Sure.
The best thing that can do is talk about it. That's the only thing we can do, right? That's the way we fight back against the dominant narrative. We talk about it over and over and over and over, and people like you, listeners, listen to the podcast and then talk about it with other people.
Yeah, I mean,
things change.
It does, but no, I think it does, like one person at a time, because, you know, and Nicole was not here, but posted earlier this week about how being on the podcast made her think more deeply about the situation of women in the games industry. And another one of the readers posted a comment and said that the podcast had done the same thing for her, right? Made her think about what was going on in terms of women in games more deeply that she had never kind of thought about before. So, yeah, I mean, so sometimes it may just be someone looking for a female voice to talk about games, right? So a sense of community. And then to, you know, say, hey, you know what? That is an issue. We should think about this kind of thing, right? And start those conversations that they otherwise wouldn't start.
And so many times, like I have a group of people I play poker with. I have a big group of people I play disc golf with and stuff like that. Most of them are men. And a lot of times I get emails or Facebook messages or, you know, pulled aside for a discussion where they ask the following question: why I want to be on board, but why is X wrong? I feel it's wrong, but I don't know why. Like, can you explain it to me? So, for example, okay, so one of them recently was the cosplay thing, right? Like, I don't get it. So women can be dressed in no clothes next to booths and it be good and bad, and I don't understand what is happening. You know? Okay, so there's a woman in this game now, but you're not happy because she's wearing leather Like, what? Explain this to me, right? Like, so, like, that conversation among a group of people, I think, is powerful. And if enough people bring those issues up or feel like they're good people to talk to or get to get information from, then that can continue on to be a source of discussion.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So and then you hope that they actually listen and don't discuss.
Well, certainly to my face, nobody has ever been like, nah, that's dumb.
Yeah.
I've never gotten that.
Well, that's good.
That would be a problem for them.
So the thing is to talk about it and to keep talking about it. And don't piss Alex Lane off.
It's so funny, because what am I going to do? I don't know. Whatever. Laid back.
Alex Rage.
Pumpkin. Evil flower pumpkin.
Angry flower jail.
Pumpkin mode.
I get a little sassy if the podcast goes too late for people who don't understand. And Sam jokes that I turn into a pumpkin. So. It's not too late now, though. I'm quite happy.
I was going to say, it's not even 11 o'clock yet.
No, we're doing great.
All right, so let's do some quick deals for broke-ass gamers. Alex Lane, I'm going to let you do these, too.
Dang it! It's like the Alex Lane episode. I was just trying to help. Annie. That's the only reason I put them up, because everybody was running late, and I was sitting here just drinking scotch. So, okay, Steam's got a million things on sale right now. I put a few things up here. 75% off Lord of the Rings, War in the North, and 75% off Garry's Mod, because they're the midweek specials, so they're going to be running out tomorrow or today for you listening to this. There's a ton of others that are 60 to 75% off. I don't know what's going on over there, because I found that after the Steam Summer Sale, like, they get super stingy with their discounts. But it's not happening right now. Like, things have continued to be on discounts. And, like, it's always after the Steam Summer Sale, I always put a break on my spending. Like, I will not buy more games on Steam until I play at least a third of the ones I bought or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's hard because everything's so cheap. Like, even Amnesia, the new Amnesia game that's coming out, which I beat Sarah to for our Power Hour reviews, is like 25% off or something.
Yeah, it's like 20% off. Or 20% off, yeah. I checked.
Like, what is that? What? Why? I don't get it, but whatever. That's great.
Spontaneous sales.
And a spontaneous sales for sure. Okay. Well, the video game industry, I was looking for some stats today, and in the in 2012, it decreased by like 22%. My assessment of it is because they're counting console sales in there, and they didn't have new consoles, and everyone's waiting for the new consoles to come out. So I think it was a false indicator, but still, I don't know what's going on. Anyway, Amazon, Walking Dead, the whole pack is only $6 right now, $6.24 or something like that, which is a really good deal. BioShock dual pack, BioShock 1 and 2 for $5. Good deal. They have a bunch of other ones. If you just Amazon search video game deals, they'll come up.
And these are, I'm sure, the downloads, right?
That's for the game code. Yep.
So yeah.
You know, Target's got a couple of things going on, but not a terrible time to be buying games unless you're holding out,
waiting for consoles. But then they have they've announced all those deals now that if you buy like the new games for the 360, that you'll be able to take them back to the store and trade them in for the next gen version for $10.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Well, that's a good deal.
It is, if you want to, you know, play on both systems.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. That's nice.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you.
All right, so I guess that brings us to a close for episode 62. Remember, take a couple minutes if you got them, and go ahead and leave us a review on iTunes. We are also now available on Stitcher and listed under Women Hosted Podcasts as well as under Gaming Podcasts.
Snap.
Yeah, see? Because we're woman hosted. So make sure you leave us a review on iTunes, because, you know, the more reviews we get, the more we bump up the list in terms of folks seeing us and hearing us and coming across us early and often. So share our awesomeness with the world. Stop by the blog at nymgamer.com. So we've got new blog posts going up every day, and every week we've got a Power Hour review where we talk about an hour of gameplay on some great new game, both AAA and indie titles. See what we think about them, and to tell us how wrong or how right we are. And as always, if you want to take part in the conversation, send us a question, send us a comment, or just tell us how wonderful we are, you can email us at nymgamer@gmail.com, or you can follow us at Twitter at nymgamer. And as I said before, the blog is at nymgamer.com, and you can always like us on Facebook, Not Your Mama's Gamer. I think that's about every way that you can actually contact us. Send us video mail, voicemail, email, you name it.
You can text us if you have our numbers.
Yeah. And Alex's phone number is, just kidding. So feel free to contact us. And, you know, if you're ever playing games and want to play with us, we also, if you go to our website and look at the About page, you can see all of our various and sundry usernames. Now, make sure
when
you send us friend requests that you tell us who you are. Because I have friended some folks from, you know, who listen and played with some folks who listen. But I get weird friend requests too.
You just say, like, I listen to NYMG or something. Yeah.
Anything. Yeah. Just let us know who you are. We're definitely friendly like that.
Okay. Well, right. I'm a psycho killer. Like that, if you write that exact line, we'll know. I'm a psycho killer.
Yeah. Yeah. Alex Lane is friendly like that. I'm not.
No.
All right, folks. So until next time, stay cool. Stay well. And as always, game on.
Game on.